Yippee!
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 Listen, what's the title of this thing? No title again?
Anda de lonely be a little money.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Check, check, check. And welcome to the summer shorts version of the Dixon Janes podcast, episode number 754, dated August 17th, 2019. It is just after 8 p.m. in the evening. It's so light out. Of course, it's Canadian summer. I am in Sault Ste. Marie. In fact, I am in Dave and Isabel's backyard, sitting under their gazebo. I see a little leak in the roof there. It's not raining. It's a beautiful evening. And, yeah, it's nice to be here. It's weird how this trip unfolded. I was going to cross at Detroit, I guess. And then just, I love the way things happen. I call it in an organic fashion, and I don't know if that's the right term, but I mean, you don't make hard decisions. Do I choose A or do I choose B? You let a decision grow and evolve and surface, and next thing you know, you're in Sault Ste. Marie on your way to Copper Harbor, which you weren't going to do either. I'll be in Copper Harbor visiting the virtual Youper and family tomorrow night. 6.5 hour drive, if that's straight driving. It's going to take me a lot longer from here, crossing the border in the Sault Ste. Marie. But anyway, it's all come about and it all feels right. The only thing is, I thought I don't want to do too many podcasts. And I would have been quite content tonight just to, lie down and read and not do much of anything. But I'm just working on my second beer. I had, at Dave's recommendation, I stopped on a reserve or reserve land, I guess, and bought some smoked whitefish. Very tasty. You got to watch those little bones, even though it was a boneless chunk. But tasty. So that may have been my supper. I've got a couple of, I've got a lot of other food, but right now I just don't feel like making anything. Yeah, so I wasn't going to podcast at all because I thought, man, oh man, it's day one of your trip to Vancouver, and then you got to go all the way back. But if I keep these short, I can just put them out whenever. You know, I don't even have to cobble any together. This could be an episode, and just a very short one. Part of me thinks, yeah, but that's breaking the rules, and then I'm saying, well, what rules? Whose rules? No, there are no rules. I used to always do a one-hour podcast. Can I put one out that's only 17 minutes? Yes, I can. Can I put out as many as I want? Yes, I can. And if you don't like it, you know what my answer would be to that. People will tune in if and when they want. Anyway, enough justification and rationalization. It was a pleasant drive. I mean, well, a lot of heavy rain, my God. And you really, traffic slowed down, but you get past Barrie. I got as far as Serpentine River, and the scenery had changed a lot, and it was just more open, and you're looking at rivers and lakes, and it's really quite beautiful. Even some gorgeous farmland with the sun shining down on the bales of hay was really lovely. And stopped a few times along the way, a very, very nice spot at near Serpentine River. And through a couple of small towns. So anyway, all in all, an enjoyable drive. Took me a total of 10 hours. I started as I had planned by dropping my son off at the airport for his shift. And then just headed up the Highway 400 from there. And here we are now. Dave was kind enough to give me a Wi-Fi password and told me where I could plug the vehicle in, alerted his neighbor, although the dog didn't get the message. The dog barked a lot when I stepped out of the van, but the neighbor is very nice. And so, yeah, what's to say? I did a lot of thinking. I listened to Neil Young, the two CDs. I liked him. I just have such mixed feelings about Neil Young. I'm reading his second autobiography about his cars mostly. And it's sort of almost careless writing, like he doesn't care. And he says that about some of his records. You know, sometimes the first recording's the best and you don't want to mess too around. He's had a lot of professional people. And the ultimate sound is great, but he's very much, I don't know, the second book was all about the cars he just impulsively bought. It was like so many cars from the 40s and 50s, and he wasn't looking for like classic collection the way Jay Leno would be. He doesn't have that kind of money, but just a car that struck his fancy. Like there's one... God, what was it? A 54, big American beast that he let his father drive. His father followed him on quite a few tours. They're playing smaller venues, and his father joined in. Now, his father wrote a biography about him, and I might be hooked and have to read that. All of this started with Kevin Chong, who's a Vancouver writer, who I guess his first book was just about a road trip. Following Neil Young's road trip to California. And that just got me interested in the music and the man. And so it's been fun. So listen to that, but a lot of reflection as you're driving. You have the time to revisit parts of your past. And I often think in terms of, okay, this chapter, this section, even more so now that I'm reading Neil Young, because he does it so, as I said, carelessly or carefree. He just doesn't seem to care. He repeats himself. It's not tightly edited. But he's just sort of talking, and it's engaging enough. And I thought, okay, man, if he can do that, I should be able to have the freedom just to write little chunks of memory the way I like. So this continues, this theme of me having to write my story. It never wavers. It never goes away entirely. It's always there. And the more I'm in touch with people younger than me who don't share those times, who are of a newer generation, who wasn't there in the 60s, I really feel the need to try and describe what it was like living through then. And I don't mean, an authoritative biography on the 1960s. I mean just... the values. And of course I would start, reaching back into the 50s and kind of an innocence, a happy days kind of life when I was in high school before things changed. So part of the drive is just thinking in words, composing, reflecting, and it's fun. It's enjoyable. So it was a very worthwhile trip already. Here I am, day one. I don't know how long it'll take me to reach Vancouver. Barnacle Bill's already asking. And I just don't know. And I guess some people would plan a trip out, map up the starts, how many miles they're going to do each day, where they're going to stop. I haven't done any of that. I've only got as far as Copper Harbor tomorrow. And because I'll be arriving in the evening, I may stay a second day so I can have a full day to enjoy it and then leave the next day. Which would be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday morning, I guess. Here's a little side story to try and make this thing more interesting. My wife works hard. You know that. I've talked about that. And she does so much around the home, even more now that I'm seemingly less capable. So anyway, there were dishes in the dishwasher. It was full. And I saw two red lights, and I thought, oh, that means it's done. So she came home from work, and I apologized. I said, sorry, haven't emptied the dishwasher yet. I'll do that later. And I said it in passing, and I don't even think she heard. And then while she was off doing something else, I emptied the dishwasher, put them all in. Supper time comes. She's picked up some things for myself and her and Daniel. And she picks a plate out of the cupboard and says, hey, that's dirty. I said, oh. And I guess she picks out another one, and it's not clean. Now, we have a system where we rinse, often with soap, and on a scrub brush, all the plates, even and dishes and knives, forks, everything before they go into the dishwasher. Now, as far as I'm concerned, that's clean enough. I could just dry them and put them back in the cupboard, but no, they're going to go into the dishwasher. Now, the dishwasher never had been on. That was my mistake. She was not happy about that. And it made me think today when I'm driving and I pick out a plate that's from my camping gear in Sal, and it's not all that clean, and I don't really care. And I thought, oh boy, I'll have to make some adjustments if we go on a camping trip together in terms of cleanliness. But it really pissed her off last night, you know, that here she is putting everything back in and then calling me and saying, hey, you know what you took out, you should put it out. I'm thinking, I don't remember what I took out. I just emptied the dishwasher. I don't remember which plates were where and when. Yeah, those ones I took out, and yeah, those ones, and yeah, all the cups and all the glasses. So anyway, that got done. So when it came bedtime, she still was a little off. And I thought, oh boy, that's going to be my goodbye for this trip that may take up to 2 months, who knows. And that's too bad. And then this morning, when Daniel's late for work, I had to wake him up, or he's not late, but he's cutting it pretty close. I'm in the road trek, just about to leave, in the driveway. Daniel just gets in. It's raining. Nelko comes out beside me. I roll down the window, and she says a lovely goodbye, and I give her a kiss from the driver's seat. And she's standing there in her pajamas in the rain, and I'm just so touched. I'm just so happy. It's such a beautiful image. I'm a lucky man. So there you go. That's my podcast from Sault Ste. Marie. Love and marriage and all things in between. I hear the neighbors out. Maybe I should shut this down. Now, I don't know whether I'll finish this here, say something a bit later on. I'd almost like to have this go out as a very short, just, okay, this is called Sault Ste. Marie. That's it. And it is so funny the way it's all worked out, that right now, as I'm at Dave and Isabel's house, they're in Copper Harbor for the first time. And as they leave Copper Harbor tomorrow, I'll pass them on the highway. As it's my turn, I'm heading down. I don't think the virtual Uper realized he'd be getting company like this. Well, I'm sure he was looking forward to Dave and Isabel's visit, and I'm sure he'll look forward to mine. I know he likes me. By the way, I am drinking out of the Bob and AJ cup that he so kindly got for me. It seemed very fitting because Bob was very, very close to both Anthony and Dave when they used to podcast together. So to have the Bob and AJ mug sitting here on Dave and Isabel's table in their gazebo seems also fitting. I guess, yeah, that's one more point I want to make. It's not superstitious, but I make meaning out of things. And I recognize they're arbitrary, and it may mean nothing to anybody else, but I choose to make meanings out of the most seemingly insignificant things. There was something today, and now it's escaped me, but it just seemed so right. This whole thing about me coming here and leaving today and starting off with Daniel in the van so that I drop him off at the very beginning of my trip, number one son in the van, and that seemed important. But there was something else. Something else I do, something else I assign meaning to. Well, sorry, there goes that story. But it's nice to be here. It's just an absolutely beautiful evening. Nice little breeze. And I should sleep well. All right, Scarborough Dude signing off now. I'll probably come back if I remember the thing I wanted to remember and tell you about that was so important in my little world of chosen meanings. Bye for now. Yeah. Hello. Scarborough Dude here. And here is on the shore of Lake Superior. It's a lovely view. I'm on Highway 28, and it's a nice drive. It goes through the Hiawatha Forest. There's all kinds of, like, picnic stops, pullouts, passing lanes. The highway's in really good shape. I'm very impressed. And, yeah, it's a nice part of the country. And this is new territory. This is virgin territory for me and the Rock. I don't have internet access, so I'm not able to post pictures or anything yet, but it will be. It'll all be up there. I just wanted to say, I left Sault Ste. Marie this morning. I got up, and I was plugged in, but the trouble to make coffee, to get the coffee out, the machine, you know, to set it up, to fix the water, hey, for a dollar at McDonald's, I get a medium coffee, and of course, in Sault Ste. Marie, there's a McDonald's very close by, so that's what I do, but I don't buy breakfast. I'm not going to spend that bloody money. Instead, make myself a nice peanut butter and honey sandwich, and now I'm having, I guess, more like my breakfast. I think it's around 11:30 on the Monday, and yeah, I got some cereal going here. Oh, it's exactly noon. Got some cereal, yogurt, banana, milk, and it's so nice with a fridge, although the fridge is not working that well. It doesn't really get ice cold when you're not plugged into 220, but it's running on propane now. And to be able to just open your fridge and get out, you know, your cereal, your banana, your yogurt, and hang on. This is for Candace. I did want to talk about the border crossing. I'm always a little nervous, apprehensive, sort of rehearse my answers, wondering what they're going to ask me. And this one was strange. I've never been asked so many questions. Like, it was a conversation. But with each question, you're thinking, is this a loaded question? Like, how long have you had the van for? Well, what do you do? Oh, teacher, retired. How long have you been retired? And I'm giving answers. And is that a camper van? How much liquor are you carrying? And they're all reasonable questions. And I said, what did you do? I said, well, I was an ESL teacher. And this is when it got funny. And she stopped, said, ESL, that means something different here. And I thought, oh, maybe there's some joke, you know, there's a code I don't know about. She said, yeah, here ESL means Hispanics. And that was a strange comment to make. Like, it just seemed loaded. Like, and I said, oh, well, maybe it's different up there, she was suggesting. And I said, well, yeah, well, my students are a lot from India and China. Oh, yeah. And she was smiling the whole time, like, so it was a nice enough conversation, but there'd be another question, and you kept wondering, what's she getting at? What's she digging for? You know? And so, I mean, I played my end beautifully, and it was just, hey, I'm a normal guy having a conversation with you. There was no questions about, do you smoke marijuana, thankfully. There was no, you know, can I have a look inside the van, which has happened before. But it went on. So anyway, there was a fog when I left Sault Ste. Marie, and it was amazing. Crossing Lake Superior in a dense fog, you could barely see in front of you. I did take a picture of the bridge while driving. It was quite impressive, and it lasted a long time and finally cleared up. And now I'm just following the coastline, Lake Superior, and there's just some beautiful pullouts and stops like the one I'm at now. So I've taken a couple of pictures with the Rock. Anyway, I'm not going to go on much more. this I'm just tacking on to the Sault Ste. Marie part. I really, last night, it was just a relaxing night. I read the book called Scarborough, one I found in the used bookshop that I favor. Not Great Escape, the other one, Cliffside Books. They tend to be cheaper. Smaller selection, of course, but very nice. Lovely young lady who runs it. And that's where I get these painted rocks, which I like. Bought another one for Deb and Brent as a gift. So, yeah, this book, it's about Scarborough. And, boy, it's sort of doing case studies. It's in the form of a novel. But it's describing these children who really are living in poverty and what it's like for them and you know, abusive fathers. And it's really, boy, it is Scarborough. I mean, this is a real image of Scarborough. I think Todd Turtle, I think, has already read it. It's disturbing, very disturbing. And so I'm glad I got it. And my first thought was, oh, I got to recommend this to the church. Here we are living in Scarborough. Our lives are just so, I mean, these are wealthy, retired people. We have nothing in common with the poor in Scarborough that we are surrounded by. So that'll be my suggestion. Anyway, I'm going to end here. Just a short catch up, and I'm on my way. I'm only a few hours from Copper Harbor, according to this, exactly, 3 hours to go, according to this map. But we'll see. I mean, I'll be stopping here and there. Scarborough Dude signing off from somewhere along the shores of Lake Superior, just, I guess, close to Marquette, I think is the town. Bye for now. Yeah, check, check. Scarborough Dude back at ya. Who else would be talking to you on this podcast? Because it's always a solo effect. It's 10 o'clock Sunday night. I left home 8 o'clock Sunday morning, or Saturday morning, so early into the journey. And I don't want this to be a day-by-day travelogue, but I really needed to catch up a little here. I'm in Copper Harbor. In fact, I'm parked right outside the Upper's garage, which has been turned into an office. And if you've listened to his podcast, you will have heard the stories of the work that's being done. This man, by God, is always doing something. And it just, I can't keep up. But tonight, we had a very nice evening. I arrived in town, 4:30. This afternoon, and I knew where to look. So I took a little bit of a tour of the town. I found out the bar that he always talks about, where they make the homemade brew, where we later ended up. How could I forget the name? It's so simple. But anyway, I forget. And then I went and found where the park was, the Fort Wilkins or something, National Park. Well, Provincial Park, State Park. And knew that his property is right next to it. And but thought, no, it's too early. He had to do some work today, volunteer stuff for the fire department. So I backtracked, went into town again, and found the fire station. And there he was, just finished his shift. So it was wonderful. They took me out to the lighthouse, which is a place that the general public cannot get to. I think the oldest functioning lighthouse on Lake Superior. It's quite something. And then to see his son, Mark, who was working at the park where Dave and Isabel stayed last night and the night before. And then into the bar. And I had several tasters. You get pints and a half pints. Very incredibly reasonable. Probably like $4 a pint, $2 a half pint. Now, maybe their pints are a little different in size, but still, fabulous beer. Fabulous beer. And that set us up nicely. And then into another fancy restaurant in town that they always go to. And both the sons joined us for that, and of course Chris, his wife, and we had a very nice dinner. And what I had, my God, she offered me, do you need a little package to take out that? No, I'll finish it. And then realized, oh, my God, these are American portions. I'm going to have to save some of that sandwich for lunch tomorrow. Now, tomorrow, I know it'll start with the coffee and some pastry here. He showed me where to go in town. And whether or not I stay another night or just keep on motoring on, which I think I should. I'm sort of leaning in that direction now. I've got a long way to go. The drive was quite spectacular today. A lot of beautiful spots en route. You know, things that are nice to see. A lot of pullovers and picnic areas. And it was interesting. It was all interesting. So, oh, God damn, this is dull. I'm sorry. During the course of drinking our beer at the pub whose name I can't remember, the brew pub, which will come to me, of course, we got to talking about Adam Curry. And I was asking, actually, the Uber, how did he make this connection with us now that he is such an important part of our circle and we are an important part of his circle of friendship? How did that happen? Where was the initial connection? And it was through Bruce Murray via Adam Curry, which I think is very, very neat. So we got into a big talk about Adam Curry and the real early days of podcasting. And I find the more I talk to this guy, he's like a well. It'll never run dry. There's so much to Michael's life that is interesting. Stuff he's done. I mean, if he'd have to be just an amazing liar to pull this off, or a person could be suspected of being a liar for, no, how is that possible to do all the things you do? But of course, he is not. This is the real guy. I really feel we are very fortunate to have him in our little network, our little circle of friends that meet through PAB and through, in the old days, and through Marshall McLuhan Podcaster Roundtable. No, Mike is the real thing. And it is quite amazing. So, you know, great to have come up and been here with him. So, you know, I guess I'm going to leave it there. I met both his sons, chatted with both. There were more things running through my mind today that were interesting and, you know, things I could have shared. But now that I'm lying here, I think I'm just done in. I'm feeling just done in. So I'm going to sign off now, and whether this will be the end of this podcast or whatever, who knows, who cares? It is what it is. Scarborough Dude signing out, because I'm just bloody tired. Bye for now. Yeah, check, check. It's Monday, the 19th of August, just after noon, and I'm sitting in the middle seat in the road tracking cell, and just wanted to finish off this podcast while I'm here and I have the internet access. I'm leaving today. It will have been a 24-hour visit to Copper Harbor. I've got my route planned, a beautiful route along the coastal road, and my goal today is to reach Highway 2, and how far along Highway 2 I get, but 2 is the route I'm taking all the way out to British Columbia, or to Washington State. So that's the goal. It's a very easy goal. You know, 3 hours I'll be there, or 4, and then I'll just decide. I have not even a concept of where I will stay tonight. And I kind of like it that way. I didn't want to do a lot of planning. I want it to be day by day. I know where I'm going, where I know where I want to get to, but where I'll stop and where I'll stay will just be decided on a daily basis, which is, it's a luxury. It's a freedom to be able to do that. I've just spent the most fabulous morning with Michael. I had a good sleep. Well, I mean, I wake up at all hours, but there's something I love about just sleeping in a sleeping bag on the back of the van here. With the windows open and very cool and just dead quiet here. Even though I'm parked by the roadway, there's no this old traffic on this roadway. It ends. This is Highway 41. Just keep going and you come to the end of that highway, an old trail. But Michael took me up there for breakfast today at the Tamarack Inn, I think. And to get it started, he needed it. He had some sleep to catch up on. He's had a very busy week. And so breakfast, and then he took me up the mountain. I didn't even know existed, with some spectacular viewing points until we got to the very top where he had one of his towers. This is a thing that you're driving up on a day like this, feels like fall, and it's gorgeous. You know, it's the trees and full leaf and the colors, and it's just absolutely lovely. And the views, spectacular, of Lake Superior and Lake Fanny Hall, and the whole town of Copper Harbor laid out before you, and it's just breathtaking. It really, really is. And then further on up to the top of the mountain where he has one of his, you know, a wind-powered generator and some of the other things that he actually has to, perched on the side of a cliff, that he has to actually get out and service in the winter. And I told him, I said, you know, I mentioned this thing about lying. Like, the stories are so fantastic of what this man, this superhero, Michael, I still don't know how to pronounce his last name, Musiel. The virtual Youper, you know who I'm talking about. The gas station attendant corrected me when I mispronounced his name. Because everybody knows him here. He's one of the 90 people who's here year-round. Anyway, the idea of getting up there in the winter, or getting up there on rescue missions, it's phenomenal. It's quite amazing. He's a very humble man. But, man, this is solid. This I've said this before in earlier podcasts. This is like American pioneer stock. When you hear about the heroes who survived in the woods and cut down the trees and made their own log cabin, this is that heritage. Michael is one of those guys. So it's a pleasure to know him. It's interesting. I'm not in the least bit intimidated or ashamed at my own sort of suburban lifestyle that you know, I wouldn't survive 2 days. Whereas he would keep going and raise a family and breed children should there be a calamity. Anyway, he doesn't want to hear about that, but I need to share that with you. But it was just a spectacular to get up there and have that view of the land he just has grown to love. And then when we came back down, we got a real coffee at the local coffee shop and bakery. And there were just two chairs out on the deck on the inlet at the harbor. And we sat there for probably a good 30 minutes or so, just talking and enjoying the gentle breeze and this beautiful view out to Porter Island and the little inlet between. And there was something perfect about it all. So this is the ending I wanted for this particular podcast. Just to say, wow, I'm so glad I made this trip. This Copper Harbor is as stunning and as amazing a place as Michael has always said it was. And I'm very, very glad to have come up and made this the start of my trip across country. Wow, what a phenomenal journey. I think it'll be downhill after this, but no, of course it won't. There'll be continue to be adventures and new things because, as I said to Michael in our last few minutes of finishing our coffee, you've just got to learn to live in the moment and be aware, be awake, be tuned in to what's around you and what's going on. But having a perfect day weather-wise certainly doesn't hurt. So before I dribble on too much more, I'm going to end this here. I was glad to give Michael a book he hadn't read, the Farley Mowat Never Cry Wolf book, which I think he'll enjoy. And yeah, we're going to close down, and I'm going to begin my solo adventure again in a very short while. So Scarborough Dude, signing off, a very happy camper. from Copper Harbor, Michigan. If you haven't come up here and you can afford the time and travel and are independent enough that, you know, you can look after yourself. Camping would be the preferred way to do this, as Dave and Isabel did. Give it a try sometime in your lifetime. Bye for now. Stay tuned. There's more to come. Bye-bye.